everybody. You know, it was, I tell you, it's been a great week this week for me and what the Lord is doing. And I know there's a lot more standing and a lot more steps to take toward Him. For me, I know there's a lot of work laid out throughout my workplace, but I have a confidence that He is able to accomplish that which He has for me there. Lord's good. But I woke up, and I'm telling you, I mean, I had meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting all week long before work, and it was profitable. But let me tell you, at the end of the week, I was tired. Tired. I woke up this morning, and I got plenty of sleep, and I was still tired. But I was like, all right, you know what? I started trying to get in a word. I said, you know what? I'm going to put on some praise and worship songs. You know, I went and get the computer to work. Well, I can't get the mouse thing to work. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. I'm trying to figure out all this. And then, you know, I unplug something, I plug it back up, and it worked. I'm like, oh, praise the Lord. Then I start typing in songs, and I start just listening to the songs. And it was just a reminder of His grace and His love toward us. What He did for us at the cross. And all the songs I listened to, it seemed like that there was just, no matter what we're going through, what I mean these songs were about, is that His love is still there. He is still standing on His throne. He's still standing in the place. Jesus, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, He's still there. Out of all the things we go through, out of all the up and downs that we have in our life, He's right there. He's sure. He's steadfast. He never moves. He never changes. And that's such a grace to us. That's such a grace to us. Because it's so easy to get caught up in the things of this world. It's so easy to get caught up in the up and downs of this life. It's so easy to fall into sin. And what I mean by that is unbelief of what He has done and what He is able to accomplish. And we have these moments where we feel like we're 5,000 miles away from the Lord. The truth of the matter is He never moved. He's right there. We move. We lose focus. We get distracted. Truth remains, He's right there. And there's a few scriptures that I want to go to, I suppose. I was through a lot, and there's a lot of things that were highlighted to me in this, and I kind of hitting around on which one I should go to. Yeah, you know what? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. And you can probably go online and listen to the men's Bible studies, and they'll probably, I know it's going to be much clearer than when I go through it, so it wouldn't hurt to listen to that again. But praise the Lord. I guess I'll start at verse 1. You know, I probably will end up at verse 9 or verse 8. Probably stopping there. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's inheritance, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Now, I think I'm going to stop at verse 5. Because this is one where, and I've read this many, many times before, but it's one where I actually, you know, I talk to Steve on a regular basis, and one of the things is Steve's kind of lit this up for me one time. And, you know, it's talking about, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. It was a place of where we all have different callings. I mean, we all have different offices that we operate in. You know, one might correct, one might encourage, one might be a help, one might, I mean, there's just different functions of the body. I mean, we are to one person and we point to one thing, and it's one will. That's Jesus' will. But I remember we're talking with Steve, and he says, you know, it's one of being subject one to another is respecting that which that person brings. Humbling yourself to that which that person is called to do. In the sense of, I remember I was talking with Lisa where, you know, one might correct somebody and the other one might, and then they go to the next person and it might be an encouragement or bring hope in that. Because a lot of times when we get corrected, I know as for me, I go, oh boy, I'm screwed. It's done. There's no hope. I'm a failure. Boom, 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 beating on my chest. Lord have mercy. I think it was Thursday night, Brad was here talking and he heard a sermon from Steve. And what Brad's reaction was, I just felt like getting in the Chevy, closing the door and cranking that sucker up. But it was necessary. It was needful. And one might come to Brad and say, well, look, Brad, there is hope. Your answer is Jesus. You don't have to worry about yourself doing it. In fact, that's the point. Stop. But put your trust and faith in Jesus and what He is able to accomplish. And what Scripture comes to mind is, one might plant, what is it? One plants, one watereth, but God gives the increase. God gives the increase. But being clothed with humility, submitting one to another, is that we both work together for the same purpose. You know, you might have a series of events where I might go, where I get corrected from, let's say, Steve. And then I get faint and I grow, and then what happens is Rick gives me a place of encouragement. To that which I was correcting on, I can just put off and then grow forward in the Lord in. But therefore the same purpose. That's a balance that happens. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And that's an interesting thing. You know, I'm looking at, it's so easy to get off track. Take offense justify yourself. They're all symptoms of pride. And I could see just this past week how the Lord has just been doing a great work there. But I also see the sin which so easily besets me. Where at the end of the week where I see, oh wow, that was a messier meeting than I thought it would be. But praise the Lord, because then I can take it from an honest point of view, know where the guys are coming from, and know where the areas to work on. But I can see at the end of that week, I just getting drowned out. Starting the cares of this world start to creep in. And then when I heard the songs and praises this morning, it was a humbling thing. And it reminded me of Jesus Christ steadfast. And how He does not change, He does not move, and it was encouraging to me. And I also seen areas in my life or in what I was doing where I was wrong. And some things, and I can move more clearly and better standing on what the Lord would have me do. And I praise the Lord for it. But this is where I want to get to. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now, I've preached this before. Have you ever watched the Discovery Channel? And when the lions go attack, let me tell you, they don't try to get everybody in the herd at one time. I mean, they don't try to get all the gazelles. No, they see that one gazelle go boop, boop, off to the side and get away from the flock. And then they just divide right in there and they go in and they all seek on that one gazelle. And then they seek to kill that gazelle. They know they can't get all of them. Way too many, very fast. But if they can get just one, just to veer off, they have a chance of getting that gazelle. And that's how the enemy works. We're a body. And when we get away from that body, we open ourselves up for attack. And I'm talking, I can be at work away from physically being away from everybody in the body, but I can still be a part of the body. And the same goes as I can be physically with everybody in fellowship and still be far away from the body. Because it's not where you put yourself physically. It's where you're putting your heart at. What are you seeking to do? And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying don't fellowship, and that doesn't matter. That's not what I'm getting at. But the fellowship that we talk about, we can go to John, and the fellowship that we're talking about is agreeing with God and His Word and what it says and believing it for what it says. We go to John, where he goes, and truly our fellowship, and John is talking about him and the other apostles, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And he's saying, that fellowship, I looked up that word one time, is agreeance with them. And the reason why their fellowship is truly with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, is because they agree with Jesus Christ and His Word. So even if I'm at work, I can agree with what the Word says and be in fellowship with Him. Amen? Amen. But when I was listening to those songs, and I seen this past week as a marvelous work, and I've also seen in this past week where there's areas where I need to work on, where there's areas where I fell back in unbelief, where there's areas I kind of funked out in when I shouldn't have, when he's sitting there, hasn't changed, hasn't moved, and is very able. I'm not able, but he is able, and I can stand in that. Amen? Amen? Getting dry.
All right.
So as I look at that, and I'm going, and it just refocused me to where that, you know what? He is able. I can trust in that. And I tell you, those songs ministered to me greatly. It's ministered to me greatly. Because I know the work that he has started in me, he is very much able to finish. If I will just put my focus and my eyes on him. We can go to Romans. Let's turn to Romans. That's something I looked at this morning. Well, Romans 8. And I'm going to start at 28. And this is a very interesting point. I remember this going through this men's Bible study. And Dave, you have brought up some points in there that was very interesting. And it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Right there it says, the called. That's chosen. Now, we're all called to his body and to his fellowship and to become ministers of his grace. Amen. And we all have that opportunity to walk in that, or we can walk away from it. It's up to us. But remember Elijah was not one of the called here. Elijah just looked at the word, he looked at the word of God, and he says, well, the word says this. If they turn after them, then there's going to be no rain. If they turn after other gods, they turned after other gods. Well, Israel's doing this. Word says this. Hey, it's not going to rain. God looked down and says, my man, here's an anointing. He believed the word. And he believed it to the point he was willing to operate in it. Just like the examples in Hebrews 11 that we talked about not too long. They believed the word to the point they were willing to trust God and operate in what he's called them to do. That's what he's calling us to do. But I want to carry on. So there's no limit. I mean, just because, you know, I don't know who's chosen and who's called. You know, really, I don't care. One thing I do know is that his word is true. And that we have an opportunity to take part of his plan. And I praise the Lord for it. Absolutely praise the Lord for it. For him did he foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You're talking about the Father sent his Son to the cross so that we might have a chance to be with him. I mean, do you think he really, I mean, it's just like the children of Israel. I mean, do you really think he brought you this point just to let you die in the desert? No. Do you think he'd offer up his Son just to die on the cross for us? For our sins? For the world? Just to leave us alone? No. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect. It is God that justifieth. Now, this is an interesting point here. You know, I look at John, look at Peter, look at Paul the apostle, and I look at how many times as they went out, how many times people went against them. The Pharisees, and they would try to kill him, try to persecute him because they were speaking the name of Jesus. Try to convince them of evil and all these things. But none of those things could stick. Not a one of those things could stick. They might have killed Stephen. They might have killed Paul. They might have killed Peter. But they went to go be with the Lord for eternity. They can't kill that. That's eternal. But nobody could lay anything to their charge and it stick. Because they were justified by the blood of the Lamb. And Jesus was perfect. And when that blood is covering you and the Father looks down, He don't see you, He sees Jesus. Who was perfect. Always pleasing to the Father. Without sin. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Can any of these things separate us from the love of Christ? No! But you know what? We have free will, and we can let it. We can let it. We can take our eyes off the Lord and what He is able to do and what He is able to accomplish. Truth of the matter is those things aren't separating you from the love of Christ. It's you that's separating you from the love of Christ. And the sin that so easily besets us. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that was the point that just drove home to me this morning when I was listening to those praise and worships, and I was looking back on the things that the Lord has accomplished in my life and those things which He has forgiven me for and those things that He worked out abundantly I can ask or think or even imagine or even conceive of what He was able to do, and He still can do them, and He's still doing them. And then that forgiveness and that grace that I am able to walk in, and that you're able to walk in. And I look at that and it's just a marvelous thing. And I was encouraged. I was very much encouraged at what He is able to do. Not just in my life, but in your life, but in my family's life. For the people that don't know Him yet. What kind of ministering opportunities that are available out there that He is able to accomplish. I'm looking at the opportunity I have at work, and I'm looking at, is this can be a ministering tool. This can be something where the Lord is glorified and that people that I work with might be able to know Him if they were receiving it. And the people around us as well, here in this body. But His encouragement, because I know He's able. I'm going to go to one more thing in Hebrews. I'm wrapping it up. I'm going to go to Hebrews. You don't have to turn there. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Without faith it is impossible to please Him. It's a choice here. What he's saying here, it is a choice to believe Him and His Word and what He's able to do. A choice to the point of, like Abraham, taking that knife and ready to sacrifice Isaac, that he's able to raise him up from the dead because that's what he promised. A choice to go stand in the faces of any situation that we have because he is able to accomplish his will in it. A choice to go to the king and say, I can tell you the dream and the interpretation thereof. But that's a choice we need to make. And if we just make that choice, watch Him move. And it's an encouraging thing. We have. It's funny. I was having meetings all week long. And it's like we're starting all over at work. New management's happening. And we're starting all over at work. And we need to get things in place. We need to get things in order. This is what it takes to get this done. And it was an exciting thing. And I looked at it as it's all about refocusing on what it is about. Just like when we come here on Sunday nights, Thursday nights, Tuesday nights, Wednesday nights. It's all about to be reminded about the power and saving grace that our Lord Jesus Christ has for us, and not us alone, but for the whole world also. Because it's so easy to forget that in the midst of our day. It's so easily to get offset. It so easily can happen. But that's why it's important that we do this and that we have our meetings and we talk with our discipleships and we fellowship with one another and we call in the time of need. In the time that we're struggling. Not in the time that we're doing fine. If we're always calling about the time that we're doing great, then you're just making it about you, to be just truth to be told. But you're actually calling your disciple and calling them because you're actually having a hard time and you're struggling with something. That's where you want to get things straightened out and you know you're struggling. There's going to be fruit from that. Because it's about you getting past and over yourself to go forward in what He has called you to do. That's what it's about. It's about loving God and loving one another and grabbing hold of His promises that He has for you and carrying out that gospel and the promises that He has for others. That's what it's about. So let's take this word. Let's take the promises of Jesus. Let's hold fast to them. Not letting go, just like Jacob. Let's have that type of faith of the mustard seed. No matter what comes in our way, even if it's a boulder, we're going to bust through and see the sun. Get the light that we need. And it's us making a choice to believe His Word. And when the situation comes up and the tribulations come up and where we're off, it's not that He is off, it's that we're off. When things start to go awry and crazy and all these things, let's humble ourselves to the correction that He has for us for why it's not working out. Because I guarantee you, I'm telling you, it's not because of Him. It's either the enemy's trying to throw something your way, or it's you are off in operating what He has called you to do. It's not Him. It's us. And that part of humility which Peter was talking about, that's the humility that we need to have when we're going, this ain't working out right. Lord, show me where I'm off. Call up your disciple. I'm off in this. Something ain't right. I know it ain't right. And be willing to hear that correction. Be willing to humble yourselves and take on that correction so that you may be able to be free to move and operate smoothly in Him, to glorify His name. He's good. And He has the best things for us if we will just but humble ourselves and receive it. And that's what I got for today. Thank you for listening.
Going through scriptures here, I saw there was at least one common element because it was so obvious I got it. So much of what we deal with is overcoming programming we received from our parents who, quite frankly, didn't know what they were doing. You know, you grow up with this image of, this mental image of who God is. And he's just this mean, tired old guy in the sky, just doesn't want you to have or do anything that's fun or have anything that's decent. So not who the Father that Jesus revealed is. Now, he started off in Peter. But I was tempted to go to the Hebrews that I thought he was going to and start there. And I might yet. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He has experienced everything that can possibly draw you off without departing. He didn't get drawn off, but He knows what you're going through because He got it Himself. So we go to Peter. I was, you know, sitting down there sweating about the order in which I should do this. And the truth of the matter is, I could do that all day and never do any of this. So just spit it out, let it rip, and not worry about the order. Trust the Lord. And it's, and Peter here, he's talking about clothing yourself in humility. The reason for that is that because when you have chosen to clothe yourself in humility, you can receive correction from anyone. You can receive it from your child. When your child speaks the truth of the word, and it cuts you to the quick, because you know that that was the word. And you can minister to anyone, because you don't think yourself better than them. In that humble place, when you have chosen to receive the notion that God the Father is good, He loved you enough to sacrifice His Son for you. And His testimony is casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That is the nature and truth of the Father we serve. Now, fathers, if you're not revealing that character of the God the Father to your children by the way you act, by the way you speak, by the professions of faith, by the diligence and equal-handed treatment diligence to seek the Father and the equal-handed treatment of your children, the continuity that is God never changes. If that's not what you're revealing to your family, then you're setting them up for the same dilemma that everybody else in this room has had to unprogram themselves from. And that is trying to wrap their mind around the fact that God the Father's good and He loves you. That's the testimony of the Word. We went to Romans. What should we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? You know, it doesn't limit itself there to what kind of things. Not only get your needs met, sometimes you get those candy bars from the streets. Stuff that you get when you never even thought it was coming. Above that which you could ask or think. What was Jesus' testimony? Boy, that sound was... the watch hitting the mic stand was pretty loud. Jesus' testimony was, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know me, you know the Father. And what amongst some of the revelations of the character of the Father is He revealing? Oh, let's start in 14 of John. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, you go down a little bit. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He says that again. That's in 27 of 14. Why do you think he would need to say that twice? You think we have a tendency to get distracted and off track and forget how good he is and forget how needful we are and how prone to pity parties we get? And how we receive the trouble of the enemy without even thinking about it. We entertain these things when we ought not. But the same revelation that we heard in Peter, casting all your cares on Him because He cares for you. Let not your heart be troubled. He cares for you. He doesn't want you to be troubled. And you know, this whole section here, 14, 15, 16, 17 of John, is encapsulated the reason Jesus came, what He offers to us in relationship to Him, how He prays through facing separation from the Father and chooses, not my will but yours be done. All that's 14, 15, and 16, and 17. It's just great stuff. There's so much in there. But this is the character of the Father. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. I do only those things that He gave me to do, and I say only the things He gave me to say. And I don't do that because I love me. I do that because I love and care for you in the same way the Father does. You have to be able to receive and agree that God is not a dirtbag. That the testimony of Scripture is that He loves you and He cares for you. And that has to be the ministry that you're, the testimony of the ministry you have in your home to your children, to overcome the enemy, to overcome the cares of this world, to overcome the false testimony of all those out there that would destroy you and keep you off track. And if you need any more, I would just say a good place to start is to repent for anything that you even remotely suspect isn't pleasing the Lord. Look at Psalm 51. Get on your knees, on your face before the Lord. Get forgiveness for not revealing the character and nature of the Father to your family like they ought to be. And trust Him that that stuff is put off and forgiven. And then do it right. Because if you're not, then you're bearing false witness against your neighbor. You're giving a false testimony of how he is. I'm going to leave it there.
Yes. Sure. Come on.
When he said it was clothed in humility, submitting one to someone, because in that humility, you can receive the truth from anybody. In that humility, you can receive. It's pride that you were not able to receive things in. And one of the great examples, if you go to Exodus, I forget what chapter it was, his father-in-law says, Moses, this thing's too great for you. You can't have every matter come to you. Why don't you set judges and elders and all these things to help you with this? We had a Bible study not too long about it, and it was a beautiful thing. But if the Lord command thee so, he said, look, if it's of the Lord, check with the Lord, is what he says. And in the midst of that thing, Moses received something from his father-in-law that was great, that helped him minister more correctly and for everybody to partake in what the Lord had for him. It was a beautiful thing. And in that Bible study, and then when I do these Bible studies, I receive from other people as they partake. And it's a beautiful thing, and we all receive from one another. And we grow thereby. Isn't that how it goes, Lisa? And it's a marvelous thing. And the other thing is when I was talking about the correction that we hold, and then when we grow faint, you know, we get corrected, and you're talking about... Really, the truth of the matter is because we thought those things that we were held in as great, we found out that they were just no good. And it was like taking away that idol that you thought were so great, and it's just no good. And you just go, oh boy, I held that so high esteem, I thought that was right. I was deceived, I was deceiving myself. But that's why we get discouraged sometimes. But remember, it's for your benefit. Sometimes it's grievous, but it's for our benefit that we may be free from that thing that would drag us down. Those are two points I wanted to bring up.